Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With all due respect to the Marvel Universe and the Avengers movies, ladies and gentle fans, this is the crossover event of the century. For we have two great longtime AFC East frenemies coming together to give you the best preview pod possible in anticipation of Sunday Night Football's showdown of the season between Wegman's version of Josh Allen, Drake May and the Patriots, and of course the real deal himself, Josh Allen and the AFC East leading undefeated Buffalo Bills. This is the Six Rings and Football Things / It's Always Game Day in Buffalo crossover preview pod. And we are so graciously joined today by Mr. Buffalo himself at Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio. You know him from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, WGR 550, and of course all that great sideline work he does for the Bills. On the home turf, we got Megan Onalini from WEEI.com. And yeah, the guy who's still licking his wounds from the Red Sox, Fitzy from WEEI Afternoons. Sal, how are you, buddy? Great to have you.
Listen, I'm great for a few reasons, because it's just really beautiful here in Buffalo. As you can tell, we're going to have great weather this weekend. But how really nice of you guys to invite this Yankee fan on this show the day after and the morning after what happened.
Pod over.
All right.
Oh, my God. What a great. Oh, sorry, man.
Wow. What I had no idea you could tap dance in a pair of Hokas so nicely on our grave, man.
Hey, listen, a lot of people just tuned out. I'm sorry. What a great, great night performance by both young pitchers last night. Really was epic performance. I know. I am a Yankee fan. Yes, sorry. I'm not gonna rub it into the Red Sox fans because that was a really epic game, and of course, a great game one even where the Red Sox won. But yes, I am a Yankee fan, and that was a very, very stressful night last night. The other thing is, I got to tell you, you opened it up by talking about Marvel, and I'm like, all right, you're already leaning towards Haley Steinfeld and Josh Allen here because Haley's in all the Marvel movies, right? I mean, that's got to be the reference where you're going to, and you already got Josh is in the brain of all the Patriots people so much. You're thinking about Haley even now.
I Mego, if I may, for a second here, I got to say, like, it's literally killing me. Ever since Tom Brady retired from the NFL, I've been searching for like a favorite player. And I know everybody in Pats Nation is like, Drake May's our guy. Like, he's the next hero. He's the champion, the chosen one. But the fact that like Josh Allen is so charitable, that he is so damn good looking, that he is so good at football. And then he marries one of my favorite actresses on planet Earth. Her performance in the Coen Brothers' True Grit from 2010 remains one of my 10 favorite performances by an actress on screen ever. And she's in the Marvel Universe. Like, Josh, save some awesome for the rest of us, guy. And Sal, as we'll get into now, you know, Mego and I have discussed previously on our podcast, and I'm sure you guys love beating this war drum. Everything is lining up for Buffalo right now. You know, you're off to a fast start. You don't have to cross the Mississippi this season. Right. And some other rivals like Baltimore, who you dispatched in the game of the year on the first Sunday Night Football. Joe Burrow's down for the season. I mean, who's the rival that is going to rise up and challenge the and Mahomes doesn't look Mahomesian so far in KC. So who's the rival that's going to rise up and challenge the Bills this season?
Well, it is Kansas City, I think, until proven otherwise. And the fact that they looked so good last week, even against a kind of depleted Baltimore team. I mean, that was a really good looking, you know, performance by them and Patrick Mahomes. And there's a lot of scar tissue here in Buffalo because they haven't been able to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, just the way it is. And until the Bills actually do that, you know, it's going to be that team. But that said, you're right about that, Fitzy, which is, I remember going on lots of shows around the country like this back in June, July, whatever. And people say, what about the Bills? I say, look, everything is right there for them. They're the five-time, you know, division champ. But the one thing they haven't done in the 5 years is get the one seed. And this is the year that everything should line up for them. As you said, the travel. They play one game, one outside the Eastern time zone. That is a Central time zone game on a Thursday night against Houston. So travel is right there. The division lines up where we know that doesn't look like the Dolphins or Jets. And I've even said, hey, the Patriots are the next team. You know, where are they going? And we could talk about that. But then you have your toughest games, quote unquote, at home. Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Bengals. Burrow out for the Bengals now. Ravens, we see what they are. The Bills already beat them. Chiefs, we know that they're struggling right now. So that's still going to be the team, though, for the Bills to beat. Right now, it would be a major upset if the Bills don't get the one seed, the one thing they haven't done, to be home for two games, but more importantly, maybe have that first weekend off.
So, Sal, when you guys look from the Buffalo perspective at the Patriots, they're a team that came in as a little bit of a underdog darling for a lot of national media, saying, well, Mike Vrabel's in there and they're going to have a strong defense and they're certainly going to be better than they were the previous two seasons. But you see Sunday Night Football, I mean, this is not a comfortable atmosphere for the Patriots in any way, going into one of the most hostile territories that they could. And Sunday night, they barely play in primetime these days, and this is a really inexperienced roster. Is there anything in this Patriots team that strikes fear in Buffalo fans' hearts at all?
I don't know about fear, but I do think that this is a team that can pose some issues. I'll tell you big picture and then focus in a little bit here, Meg, which is, I think big picture going into the year, even here in Buffalo, WGR, we've talked about and said, the Patriots are probably the next best team in the division. Like, they're on the rise. They're coming up. Mike Vrabel gives them a lot more respect, you know, and what they've had in the league. And Drake May, I think a lot of people here, we talk a lot about how much we like Drake May a lot as a young quarterback in this league. He's done some nice things. So they're there. I think the question is, do they have enough talent to really challenge yet, right? It might be another year or two. The Patriots actually remind me a little bit of the Bills maybe in 2019 when they were trying to knock on that door of the Patriots, right? And they couldn't really knock it over. And then in 2020, they finally do. I think the difference was the Patriots at that time were a bit on the decline with Tom. Well, the Bills are at the height of their superpowers right now, right? So it's still going to be a little bit tough for them. Now let's focus in on this Sunday, as you said. You're right. It's a Sunday night game. The Bills are used to this world. After 20 years of 1 o'clock on Sunday because they suck so much, the Bills now play all the time on Monday nights and Thursday nights and Sunday nights and Thanksgivings and Christmases and all
that. It's okay.
Right?
You know what? Trent Edwards and EJ Manuel can't hurt you anymore, Sal.
No, that's exactly right. And that's what happens when you have the league MVP. That's what happens when you win division championships and go to conference championship games and maybe a Super Bowl at some point here. It is not only, Megan, are you right about Sunday night, the atmosphere, it's going to be beautiful weather. I don't know if you guys know, but this is the rivalry jersey night for the Bills. It's the first time they'll ever be wearing their new rivalry uniforms. Nike Rivalry.
What is the name of their rivalry uniforms? They're the all-white uniforms for people who can think of the images that have been released by the league. But do they have an official name?
They look like the White Walkers from Game of Thrones.
You guys are going to have like 80 degree weather during the day on Sunday, right? Aren't these like the blizzard uniforms?
It's the cold front or winter is coming, right? So winter is coming at some point.
When is winter coming? Perhaps this is a bad omen for Buffalo that they're
maybe that's what New England fans can count on and hope for, because I will say it does kind of not line up, but you know the way this works, right? Nike said, okay, every team in this division, two divisions, the NFC West is the other one, you got to wear it one time for a home game against a division team, but you didn't have any say in that until the schedule came out, which game that would be. Well, as part of all this, it just so happens, as you guys probably know this is the last year ever inside Highmark Stadium. It's the last year they're ever playing inside this stadium. There's a brand new, beautiful facility going in across the street. It's incredible. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But that being said, because the very last game against the Jets, the Bills are going to wear their old red helmets from the Jim Kelly days and the Super Bowl days. And that was to pay homage to, obviously, the Super Bowl years. And that was the game they're going to do it. So that game's out. Can't wear the winter is coming uniforms. So the only two choices were Thursday night in September against the Dolphins or Sunday night in October early against the Patriots. And it just so happened to line up this week. And now you have good weather. They're going to be really nice to watch. But fans will be jacked up for it, no doubt. This is going to be with an inexperienced roster, you say, but still a guy, I think, in Drake May that's smart. The Patriots will have a way to combat the noise a little bit for him on offense, but it's going to be a challenge. The communication is going to be a challenge. A veteran wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, who obviously knows this place well. Hunter Henry, a veteran there. So I think they'll probably be okay in a lot of ways there because they'll be buttoned up, but it can pose a lot of challenges, obviously. The biggest fear, I think, would be how the Patriots are stopping the run and the Bills are the number one run offense in the league. Now, it could go the other way. The Bills averaging 163 yards a game rushing. They're great at it. Patriots, 77 yards a game allowed. They're not very good. They're great at it, too. So something's got to give in this game. And the other part is the Bills' rush defense has not been good. And I think that's the path for the Patriots. They're going to want to run it down the Bills' throat, but they haven't been able to run the ball that well.
And it is funny, and Fitzy, like, you can definitely speak at length to this because you have these guys on the afternoon show all the time, but we thought that this was going to be a Patriots team that was going to run the damn ball. Like, we were like, oh, Travion Henderson, such a breakout player, preseason, now it's preseason, but he's also supposed to be one of the best guys in pass protection from college. And then he gets out there and turns out that's like a big weakness for him. Their running game really has not exploded in the way that we expected. And at times it's, you say you expect the Patriots to be buttoned up, Sal, like, they were buttoned all the way down, like chest open in the club dancing against that Steelers team when they had five turnovers. And a lot of them came through trying to attempt this ground game.
You know what? You're right about that, Megan. It's so funny because I think it's the reputation, I think, that you have here of a Mike Vrabel coach team and the Patriots overall and the mystique of them. And they're going to come into town. They're going to be buttoned up. But you're right. I watched that game. And I mean, what did Cam Hayward say? We knew they put the ball on the ground. We knew when Ramondre Stevenson was on the field, right, and going after the ball. And that's something, okay, knock on wood here for Bills fans, but I don't know if you guys know, the Bills have a current an NFL record right now, 26 straight games. It's unbelievable. 26 straight games, they have not lost the turnover battle. They get after the ball, and they don't turn it over, right? They went 591 straight snaps, an NFL record, without a turnover until Josh Allen threw an interception last week on a deep ball. Like, the Bills just don't give you the ball. And then they get the ball somehow at some point in the game. And a lot of times it's in a critical moment. They'll be looking to do that. What I like about Drake May is he's really great in his completion percentage. He understands where to go. He's mobile. That has hurt the Bills this year. A scrambling quarterback, not even design runs, scrambling by quarterbacks has hurt them. But then I look at the Patriots and say, boy, one wide receiver, then it's super tight end heavy, right? And that's, they're not throwing the ball down the field. And I think the Bills will probably try to force them to throw the ball down the field and say, you know, we're going to make sure that we take everything underneath and tackle you and try to force you to try and beat us over the top.
Yeah. See, I think this game is so much more beyond fascinating, and not just because the Pats held the Bills, you know, underneath the sofa for 20 years. And now the big brother, the younger brother, has risen up, and now he's the one fighting back. And now you guys have the division for 5 years with the clown outside your window, Brady gone. And now Josh Allen is the demon that's torturing us. You say the Bills have won the turnover battle 26 games in a row. However, Josh Allen has thrown a pick in his last four games where he started against the Patriots as well. Drake May, when he doesn't turn the ball over, wins. When Drake May turns the ball over, whether it's in a dirty pocket and he loses a grip on the ball, or airmails Kayshon Booty or Steph Diggs, turns the ball over, they lose. And when you mention about how the Patriots now remind you of 2019 Josh Allen, what I've been banging the drum on at WEEI for the longest time, Sal, is I remember watching the first game in early 2019 when Josh turned the ball over. I think he threw three picks and fumbled late in the game when John Jones hit him. And then seeing them later in December in an awesome Saturday afternoon game that was on NFL Network, 24-17 final, Rex Burkhead.
John Brown beats
John
Gilmore.
Brown cooked Gilmore on a route. One of the best deep balls I've ever seen live in person. And I thought, oh, S word. Brian Daboll has unlocked Josh Allen. He's gotten him to see the matrix now. He's going to be an absolute thorn in our side for years to come. So what's going on now is that Josh McDaniels, through his own process and playbook, is kind of trying to do the same thing, and he's almost there. And as far as barometer games go, how far along are the Patriots and Drake May, and are the Bills really at the top of the NFL mountain? This represents Drake May's 17th start in the NFL. So he's basically completing his rookie year. And who better to test himself against than the guy everyone compares him to in Josh Allen? Like, I mean, get all the popcorn ready for Sunday, because it's all lining up.
No doubt. And I said, we have a lot of healthy respect here for Drake May in Buffalo. And I know in WGR, we talk about him a lot. And it is interesting you say that about Daboll and unlocking him. I mean, I think we know now, and I don't know if it's Kirk Herbstreit or someone who said this recently, and I don't want to, like, it was their line, but I agree 100% that young organizations fail young quarterbacks oftentimes more than young quarterbacks fail organizations.
Absolutely.
Right? Right? Yep. And you see that. You guys saw Mac Jones. Mac Jones looked good last night.
Who was that, by the way? And why did they spend $250 on Brock Purdy when you got McCorkle looking like an absolute stud?
If I were with the Niners front office, I would say, as long as Kyle Shanahan is here, we are never spending money on a quarterback ever. ever.
Because that's right. Look what he could do. And I agree with that. So I've always said this. I believe this. Maybe it's not true. I believe if Josh Allen had been drafted by the Jets, he'd be nowhere close to what he is now. Nowhere close. Because they just wouldn't have the process and the people in place and the organizational philosophy in place. Now, he might still be a good quarterback. He wouldn't be the league MVP. I think if Sam Darnold was drafted by the Bills, he might not be the league MVP, but he'd be damn good. He'd be kind of what we saw with him in Minnesota with O'Connell. Because the Bills, when Josh got drafted, the Bills had a plan for him. They had a process. Now, the Bills have right now what most organizations dream of and what the Patriots had for 20 years. An owner, a head coach, and a quarterback, and a head coach, and a GM, and a head coach aligned with a plan. And an offensive coordinator who brought these guys along. And, of course, you had Brady and Belichick for so many years. And here you had Dable and Josh. He's gone. But you have Bean and McDermott and Josh. And now Josh is matured enough where he takes ownership of his own career and he understands what he has to do. I agree with you 100%. This is a game where Josh Allen might have an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. I'm looking at some of the Patriots numbers. You guys can tell me, as good as they've been against the run, they've been a little leaky against the pass. I know Gonzalez was out a little bit early on. So maybe the Bills try to test that and that secondary because the Patriots have been so good at stopping the run. But guys, I got to tell you, the one thing that's been maybe not shocking, but really nice to see and surprising here is as good as James Cook was last year, he is even better this year. He is literally on track to be an AFC Offensive Player of the Year. He just won AFC Offensive Player of the Month, and the Bills have the league MVP in front of him.
Yeah, he is stellar. And I do think that, as we said before, a lot of this is going to come down to the running game, even though it's so much more fun to talk about Drake May and talk about Josh Allen. I do want to bring up one other fun thing from my perspective, which is this is going to be the first game that Steph Diggs plays back in Buffalo. Ooh. And obviously it was not the happiest ending for him there. Goes down to Houston, tears his ACL in week 8, has a breakout game last week. They're finally lining him up in the slot over DeMario Douglas from the Patriots' perspective. And he has his first 100-plus receiving yards game. Do you think that there is anything to his time in Buffalo? First of all, I'm interested in your opinion on Steph Diggs as someone who has been embedded with the team and covered him. But do you think that they just have the book out on him and we're going to see a bit of a regression, at least statistically, from him this game?
I think the Bills know, Stephon, what he does well, and that always helps. I mean, you have Christian Benford and Trey White who played with him both for several years, so they'll understand a little bit of that. I mean, Stephon, I give him a ton of credit to come back from the ACL this early, 11 months only removed now, and oh my God, look what he's doing, right? It's incredible. And he's always been a precision route runner, and that's what he is. And he's not the burner over the top, but he's going to get his numbers because he's going to run really good routes and he's going to catch the football.
Smart
Super
cat.
Smart. Yeah. That's right. And he's not going to get a good reception here, right? People are going to boo him and all that because it didn't end the best way. But
for the record, just to jump in really quick, Sal, he said talked to him in the locker room the other day, overwhelmingly, love for Buffalo.
And listen, he was beloved here, no doubt. And he's the enemy though. And there's a lot of talk about him and Josh. Did they get along? So, that's going to cause a lot of the booing that's going to happen. But at the same time, there's a lot of love for what he did.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh needed Stephon Diggs in his life and his career when he came along. And that's a big deal for where Josh is now. It's funny. We had a question this morning on WGR on our morning show, Jeremy and Joe. They said Stephon Diggs is the best athlete to leave Buffalo and come back to play them since who? And the answer is probably your Boston native Jack Eichel when he went to Vegas and he came back to play the Sabres.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's probably the answer.
Oh, well, I mean, Steph Gilmore, Chris Hogan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Chris Hogan. Yes.
I was going to say, who's more young now in retirement?
Those guys are good players, but it is kind of funny. But Dominic Hasek back in the day, right? I mean, we had some of those guys too. Mm-hmm. Danny Briere, right, in hockey. We have guys in hockey that did it, but it's kind of funny. But that's what it's being treated of. And that's what one of the things is, though, Meg, they did play last year, right, against Houston. I think that was the buildup to the now team not coming back. I get it. It was in Houston, but that was all about Josh and Stephon, their interaction, what it's going to be. That's not a storyline anymore this week here. What it is the fans with Stephon, What's the reaction here there? I do think that I am interested to see how the Bills cover him. Christian Benford doesn't normally follow receivers. He did with Garrett Wilson a little bit when they played the Jets. I don't know if that's what they're going to do with Stephon because, like I said, hey, he's the guy, and then it's a whole bunch of tight ends. That's who scares you on the Patriots, I think, more than anything. Stephon is going to get some numbers, but the tight ends are the guys that they love to go to.
Yeah, and see, this is, again, what makes this sort of like the – it always used to be the Pats were where you wanted to be and they were and the Bills were climbing, ascending, finally got there. Now they've switched roles, and now the Pats are trying to climb that hill. And they mirror each other, and we'll wrap momentarily, Sal, and get to this. But I just – before we offer our predictions, it's funny how both teams seem to do best when they operate with a complementary offensive unit. Like, you've got two good tight ends. Pats have two functional good tight ends. You do have the best, I think, the most underrated offensive weapon in the AFC, if not the NFL, in James Cook. How can the guy win AFC Offensive Player of the Month and still be underrated? I don't know, but he is, and he's an absolute monster. You know, you've got the quarterback that we hope the Patriots one day have as well with Drake May to Josh. And then your wide receiver room is full of a bunch of, like, 1.5s, 2s, 2.5s, just like the Patriots room is as well. And your tight ends are good too. And that's always how Brady's offense worked at its best. When he had Moss and Welker, sure, they set the world on fire. But otherwise, it was making sure on any given Sunday, like Josh does as well, at least 8 or 9 guys catch a pass.
There is a mantra they live by here. They actually have caps that say it's called everybody eats. That's what the offense is. Everybody eats. They want everybody. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of that was born out of when Stephon was here. Not that he was demanding the ball and being bombastic about it, but I think there was always that pressure to make sure he got thrown the football. I think it was always that pressure to make sure he got his. He's a number one. He's got this big personality, and you're always walking on eggshells, and it kind of unlocked Josh. Everybody wondered last year, what's Josh going to be without a number one? He won the league MVP. You know why? because he spread the ball around. He spread the ball around to the open man like Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't care. I'm going to the open man. That's my job. I throw it to the open man. That's what Josh has done. And by the way, so people know, the Bills not only have two good tight ends, they have three, and they run 13 personnel more than any team in the league now, believe it or not.
Right.
Because they have Jackson Hawes, who was regarded as the best blocking tight end in the draft. And in fact, Aaron Cromer, who's been around this league a long time, Aaron Cromer, who won a Super Bowl on the Saints coaching staff, was with the Rams and Sean McVay, actually said he is the best blocking tight end I've ever coached. The dude's played 4 games in his NFL career, right? I mean, wow. You think about that. And on top of that, he can catch passes. He caught that big pass down the seam against the Ravens. But he's normally on the field to block, but you can throw it to him. Then you have Dalton Kincaid, who they use as the pass catcher. And then, of course, Dawson Knox, who has killed the Patriots a little bit over the years with some big-time plays, right? So the Bills just do love. The point is they do really lean into their own philosophy of everybody eats because they just – you never know who's getting the football.
I love that. All right, Mego, let's wrap it on our end with quick predictions for the audience, and then we'll put this beautiful crossover pod in preview to bed. What do you got on Sunday?
I'm going to go with 31-24 Bills. I think that the Patriots are lucky if they get out of this with a clean performance offensively. I kind of feel like what they can show in terms of playing on the margins, as you said, Sal, looking buttoned up, looking like they're smart and situationally doing what they're supposed to do, but it's simply just an slight experience or talent gap between these two teams. Looks like, okay, the Bills are the mature team, the experienced team, the Super Bowl contender, but the Patriots are a scrappy young team coming up with a lot of smarts and a lot of young talent. Like, I think that's a pretty good outcome for the Patriots.
I would be wise to always emulate and copy my podcast partner here, Sal, though our score predictions were submitted without knowledge of the other ones before. I have Bills 30, Patriots 24. We're literally a point off. Look, we've been talking all week and for weeks in advance, looking forward to this game. For the Bills, this is a stay on track, get the job done, wear the fancy uniforms, and don't let the Patriots insurrection fully begin. For the Patriots, this is litmus test, benchmark, check in city. Like, do we belong on the same field as the Bills? I think last December, when Mayo was still in town. It was the, oh, wow, the Patriots came out all juiced up and the Bills like were wearing cement shoes in the first half. Then you guys got your act together, didn't turn the ball over, 24-21 Bills. Now you guys will be prepared for Vrabel and for Milton Williams and Christian Gonzalez and a spry young Patriots team on the rise.
Hey, by the way, like, do we know, is Milton Williams, what his situation is?
I am very nervous about that. He didn't practice at all yesterday. He wasn't even in the locker room before practice. So for the Patriots, that's a great point, Sal. That is a major concern because that is by far and away the best part of their defense so far.
Oh, he's been awesome. He's been worth every penny of that $104 million thus far. How's by the way, how are Milano and Ed Oliver?
So I think Milano's going to play. I think Milano's back. You're probably losing his main backup, Dorian Williams, who played most of the year last year and is a good player. Yeah. But Matt's different. Matt is just so high level, the way he dissects things. I think he's good. He's got the pack. He missed a few weeks, but he looks like he's doing everything. Ed Oliver, I don't know yet. He's missed a few games. It seems like he's still a little ginger on the ankle. He talked with us in locker room, but he has practiced 2 days in a row. So we'll see about him. A couple other injuries along the way, but those are really the two. And yeah, Ed Oliver's a big part of that rush defense. He was so good in that Baltimore game, but yet the Bills still got run on a lot. But he made that big play, and teams are running on the Bills, and part of it is because Ed Oliver's gone. They have a really good rookie in Deion Walker that's going to be really good, I think, in this league, and he's playing well. We'll see. By the way, real quick, I'm thinking of the standings. You're talking about Fitzy, like, and Meg, what happens here and where the Patriots are. If the Patriots win this game, they're one game back and they have the head-to-head. And their next three games are very winnable, right?
You look at
their schedule. Yep. No doubt about that. The Bills then have Atlanta on a Monday night next week in Atlanta, and then a bye week. Like, you could see this could get a little close, too close for comfort.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Sal.
If the Bills win, you're talking 5-0 against the next best team at 2-3 in the division with a head-to-head. I mean, you could be looking at seriously like betting odds saying they could win the division earlier than any team ever has, I guess, at that point. I don't know.
It could be a hat and t-shirt day much earlier for you guys as well. And again, I think the Patriots, of course, they would love to win, and as their fans would love to see as well. But I think mostly this is just like, hey, let's make sure we belong in the same field. Let's check the box. You know, we're kind of sick and tired of moral victory Mondays here in Pat's Nation and on WEEI. But at the same time, like, it's a new regime. It's over half new roster as well. That's where they need to see where they are. You know, give the national audience a good game, give Buffalo a test, and then, we'll reassess afterwards. This has been a blast. Folks, if you want to get all the latest on Buffalo, Bills Mafia, and everything Western New York, give him a follow at Sal Sports. Your audience obviously knows that, Sal. He's Sal Capaccio from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo and WGR 550. Mego from WEEI.com and the Six Rings podcast, heard often on the weekends as well. And yeah, I got to go prep for the Red Sox recovery show and also do everything else.
What's your prediction on the divisional series? My Yanks against the very, very pesky Blue Jays, who are just an hour and a half north of us here in Buffalo.
I got the Yankees in four. The Blue Jays scuffled at the end of the season, and then that's going to set up, I think, what would be the best ALCS possible, Mariners against Yankees. And I would love to see the Mariners finally get revenge for decades past in the Tino Martinez days. But I'm not trying to be a salty Sox fan, but at the same time. Yeah. What do you think, Mego?
Oh, I mean, I like that. I like the idea of just a quick series there. Yeah. I got to say, I'm out on baseball at this point.
Yeah. Okay. She's getting ready for Celtics season.
I moved on to the NBA.
Hey, yeah. I got that. Well, have a great season, Meg, and all your coverage out there. And we have a lot going on here with the Blue Jays being the Bisons here, the farm club for the Blue Jays.
Oh, that's right.
Right, the AAA team, and they played here during COVID. A lot of Blue Jays fans here in Buffalo, a lot of Yankees fans here in Buffalo. So we got a little, headbutting going on.
You got a little bit of all that action up there as well. Right. All right, Sal, have a great weekend. Have a great game on Sunday. Thanks for joining us. This has been the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo / Six Rings and Football Things crossover pod. Both of us in the Odyssey family. Make sure you subscribe to both podcasts on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple Pods, or wherever awesome football talk is found. You can say go Bills if you want to, Sal. I can't say that otherwise.
No, I'll say let's have a great time, great night, enjoy it. It's going to be a really fun time.
Absolutely. Have a great one, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Go Pats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.